Good morning, and welcome to Sunday Morning Worship, a broadcast of parts of the worship service at St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts, as it was recorded last Sunday morning and brought to you today to the glory of God. The message this morning is from our pastor, Reverend David Riley, and is titled, God's Unbelievable Promises. It's based on the Old Testament reading from Genesis chapter 17. Visitors are always welcome to join us here at 60 Broad Street each Sunday at 10 a.m. And now, your friends at St. John's invite you to stay tuned as we worship our great and loving God.
Good morning and welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church here in Westfield, Massachusetts. We pray God's blessings upon those who are worshiping with us in person, and also pray God's blessings upon those who will be viewing this service on our YouTube channel. I'd like to invite you to stand as we begin our worship this morning by singing hymn number 611, Chief of Sinners Though I Be. Baptism, we begin this day as we do each day, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless, that I may make my covenant between me and you, and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but you shall be called Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come before you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring, and after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and to put your offspring after you. And God said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. And I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Therefore, we have now been justified by his blood. Much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if we were enemies, while we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand as we hear the words of this morning's Holy Gospel text. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, Who do people say that I am? And they told him, John the Baptist. And others say Elijah. And others, one of the prophets. And he asked them, But who do you say that I am? Peter answered him, You are the Christ. And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what can a man give in return for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. May the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever taken a shortcut? Has it ever worked out? Very often, shortcuts end in disaster. There's the dead-end road or the two-lane road with traffic so heavy that it's really no shortcut at all, and it actually takes you longer to travel. What about a shortcut when you're trying to fix something at home or on the car? You think you have an aha moment, and then it breaks again, and it costs more to fix the second time. Shortcuts usually don't work out. When we look at the Old Testament patriarch Abram this morning, we see a desire to make a man-made shortcut. Abram wants to do things his way. He has figured out a way to have an heir. After all, our man Abram is no spring chicken. He is quite elderly. His wife Sarai is also well along in years. He thinks there is no possible way for he and Sarai to have any children. It's just too late for them. But Abram has a plan for an heir. And even God himself can save face. Remember, Abram is now 99 years old. He received the promise 24 years earlier that God would make of him a great nation. His wife Sarai is now 89 years old. Both Abram and Sarai would laugh out loud at the prospect of having a child at their advanced age. Since God had not provided a son, since the promise was recorded in Genesis 12, verse 2, Abram and Sarah had decided to take matters into their own hands. What we see here is the weak faith in Abram and Sarai. Abram doubts that God can really still keep his promise and provide him with an heir. Abram thinks this would be totally impossible for God to do. This would be way too much to ask of God. So Abram decides he wants to fix the problem. He thinks he has the perfect solution. He says, God, let's do things my way this time. And Abram's own answers led him to have a son by a female Egyptian servant named Hagar. That was also Sarai's idea. Abram's answer to his old age would allow God to keep his promise in Ishmael. Abram's plan on his part not only reveals a lack of faith, but also a sentimental feeling toward his son Ishmael. He knows he and Sarai are just too old to have a son of their own. So he says to God that he should just make Ishmael heir of the promises. Ishmael was already 13 years old. Abram wants his beloved Ishmael to be his heir. He practically begs for this, praying to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." This is Abram's answer to his problem. You and I operate the same way. We have problems in life. Everybody does. We, as the people of God, go to him in prayer. You pour out your heart to him. You tell him you believe in his promises. But as soon as you say amen, then you start looking around for your own solutions, your own answers, the way you think the problem should be solved. Just like that, there's worry, fear, and anxiety. You give it to God, and immediately you take it right back as fast as you possibly can. The real problem here is that you don't trust God and His ability to answer as being the best for you. You want to do it all by yourself. After all, you might not like God's answer and His solution. You are being just like the patriarch Abram. God calls on Abram to walk before Him, tamin. We translate this Hebrew word as blameless, but the implication is that Abram walks before God according to God's ways and not his own. In other words, believing in God's promise that Abram and Sarai would have a son of their own. Ishmael will not be the heir. God comes to Abram face to face. God does not come to discipline or condemn. God comes to Abram to strengthen his faith by speaking to him the promises of the covenant. If Abram thought it was impossible, unbelievable, that he and his wife could have a child in their old age, then he must have been astonished at the unbelievable promises that God made to him. 9 times in the first 14 verses of chapter 17 in the book of Genesis, God speaks of my covenant, emphasizing God as the one who establishes the covenant, sets its conditions, and brings blessings that are His alone to bestow. In setting these conditions, God adds new detail to what had previously been promised to Abram. First, this is to be an everlasting covenant, not a temporary covenant. The benefits and blessings of this covenant will last eternally for Abram, Sarai, and their descendants. In addition, it was a personal covenant with Israel to be their God, to be God to you and to your offspring after you. God simply and graciously chose Abram and Sarai, along with their descendants, to be the recipients of this amazing covenant. It was nothing that Abram or Sarai had did that made them worthy of this amazing covenant. At its very core, it is God's promise to be God to you and to your offspring after you that exists as pure gospel. Abram is predicted by God to become the father of a multitude of nations. God also says, I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. Likewise, concerning Sarai, God says to Abraham, I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of peoples shall come from her. Putting all of these aspects of the covenant together, there are certainly immediate fulfillments in the Old Testament as the line of Abraham and Sarah produces both nations and kings. Yet, there is a more significant fulfillment in the most notable descendant, the Christ, or the Messiah. Through His life, death, and resurrection, everlasting life in the presence of God is purchased for all people. The promise to have nations as descendants is reflected in Jesus Christ's command to go and to make disciples of all nations, and it is ultimately fulfilled in people from all nations being grafted into the seed of Abraham. God changes Abram's name to Abraham. Why? Because he would become father of a multitude of nations. Abram means exalted father, but Abraham means father of many nations, which correctly describes what God would make of him and his descendants based on God's promises. Sarai's name change reflects the fact that as Abraham would be the father of many nations, Sarah, which means princess, would become the mother of many nations. God would not work this promise through Ishmael, but rather he would keep his original promise by giving Abraham and Sarah a son of their very own, even in their old age. In fact, God would richly bless Abraham so that this would be an eternal covenant. The covenant would be everlasting because of one of these descendants. Every human being has their own life expectancy, beginning and ending. To be an everlasting covenant would take a very special descendant who would be like Abraham, a human descendant, but also like God, who has no end, who is everlasting. One of Abraham's descendants would be our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Finally, God would give to Abraham the land of Canaan, literally the promised land for his future descendants. This promised land would be an everlasting possession. Again, it would be everlasting because there would be a land far beyond anything on earth. There would be a promised land that would last forever. Jesus Christ, the descendant of Abraham, has come. He has come for all people, all nations, all generations. He came to bring the promises of God to ultimate fulfillment. He did so to remove the sins of our weak faith, our doubts, our constant desire to do things our way, to solve problems without regard to God's will. He did so by his own suffering, his own shed blood to cover our sins, his own death to pay our wage of sin, and his glorious resurrection to conquer the power of death itself. Through Jesus Christ, the promises of God to Abraham and to us are fulfilled. By faith in Jesus, we too are now spiritual descendants of Abraham. He has changed your name too. On the day of your baptism, the day you received the Holy Spirit, the day your sins were forgiven, the day you became an heir of eternal life, God gave you a new name, Christian. God keeps his promises to you. He gives you a new covenant in his blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. His covenant sealed in his holy, precious blood strengthens your faith and keeps you in true faith unto life everlasting in the everlasting promised land. Dear friends in Christ, the season of Lent continues, pointing us ahead to the ultimate and final sacrifice for sin to be offered by God for all people. The Old Testament reading emphasizes God establishing his one-sided covenant with Abraham. It is one-sided because God brings all of the blessings to this relationship. Abram and Sarah, like all people, are simply on the receiving end of God's bountiful blessings. The promises to both Abraham and Sarah are ultimately fulfilled in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is only through the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, that Abraham and Sarah are the parents of many nations and many kings, and that all nations of the earth are ultimately blessed. God made promises to Abraham. Those promises seemed impossible, unbelievable, to an old man and his wife. But God kept his unbelievable promises to Abraham and to you and to me. All of the promises were fulfilled in Jesus Christ when he came for you and he came for me. Now you and I have new names, forgiveness of sins, an everlasting covenant, and a promised land. These are indeed unbelievable promises. And now may the grace and mercy of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Now may this true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve us in true faith unto life everlasting. Let us depart in peace and joy. Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God. You have indeed refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your abundant mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 473, Alas, and Did My Savior Bleed.
You've been listening to a broadcast of the worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts. If you wish to contact us or would like to learn more about the Christian faith, please call 413-568-1417 or visit us at stjohnswestfield.org. God's blessings to you.